armor separated him from the galaxy, from everyone, made him singular, freed him from the needs of the flesh, the concerns of the body that once had plagued him, and allowed him to focus solely on his relationship to the Force. It terrified others, he knew, and that pleased him. Their terror was a tool he used to accomplish his ends. Yoda once had told him that fear led to hate and hate to suffering. But Yoda had been wrong. Fear was a tool used by the strong to cow the weak. Hate was the font of true strength. Suffering was not the result of the rule of the strong over the weak. Order was. By its very existence, the Force mandated the rule of the strong over the weak. The Force mandated order. The Jedi had never seen that, and so they'd misunderstood the Force and been destroyed. But Vader's master saw it. Vader saw it. And so they were strong. And so they ruled. He rose, his breathing loud in his ears, loud in the chamber, his image huge and dark on the reflective wall. A wave of his gauntleted hand and a mental command rendered the walls of his ovate meditation chamber transparent instead of reflective. The chamber sat in the center of his private quarters aboard the Perilous. He looked out and up through the large viewport that opened out onto the galaxy and its numberless worlds and stars. It was his duty to rule them all. He saw that now. It was the manifest will of the Force. Existence without proper rule was chaos, disorder, suboptimal. The Force, invisible but ubiquitous, bent toward order and was the tool through which order could and must be imposed, but not through harmony. Not through peaceful coexistence. That had been the approach of the Jedi, a foolish failed approach that only fomented more disorder. Vader and his master imposed order the only way it could be imposed, the way the Force required that it be imposed, through conquest. By forcing the disorder to submit to the order, by bending the weak to the will of the strong. The history of Jedi influence in the galaxy was a history of disorder and the sporadic wars disorder bred. The history of the Empire would be one of enforced peace, of imposed order. A pending transmission caused the intercom to chime. He activated it, and a hologram of the aquiline-faced, gray-haired commander of the Perilous, Captain Luit, formed before him.
Lord Vader, there's been an incident at the Yagger Minor shipyards.
What kind of incident, Captain?
The lights from the bridge computers blinked or didn't, as dictated by the pulse of the ship and the gestures of the ragtag skeleton crew of freedom fighters who staffed the stations. Jam stood behind the helm and looked alternately from the viewscreen to the scanner as he mentally recited the words he'd long ago etched on the stone of his mind so that he could, as needed, read them and be reminded. Not a terrorist, but a freedom fighter. Not a terrorist, but a freedom fighter. Cham had fought for his people in Ryloth for almost a standard decade. He'd fought for a free Ryloth when the Republic had tried to annex it, and he fought now for a free Ryloth against the Empire that was trying to strip it bare. A free Ryloth. The phrase, the concept, was the pole star around which his existence would forever turn. Because Ryloth was not free. As Cham had feared back during the Clone Wars, one well-intentioned occupier of Ryloth had given way to another less well-intentioned occupier, and a Republic had, through the alchemy of ambition, been transformed into an empire. An imperial